CJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perron.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. It's very nice to have you with us for another edition of the program. Today, we actually have some information to pass along about something that didn't pan out last month, but I'll tell you about that later. And also, we need your help, or rather, I need your help, to locate something. But I'm not going to tell you about that right away. Let's have a song first, and then when I come back, I'll explain to you exactly what I mean. Now, this actually might give you a clue of what I'm referring to. Here is Sixto Rodriguez with the song Sugar Man that is from a documentary called Searching for Sugar Man. Now, if you haven't seen the documentary, it's about a singer by the name of Sixto Rodriguez who recorded two albums, one in 1969, the other in 1970, and that was it. They didn't sell too well where the albums were released, except for in a couple of places like South Africa, Australia, and a couple of others. And he had no idea for years that he was actually quite popular in these countries. They kept reissuing his material. Anyway, he eventually found out, and finally, after he recorded the material, when the documentary came out, he actually had the album go to number one. Anyway, this is the title track from his first album, Rodriguez and Sugar Man.
Sugar Man, won't you hurry? 'Cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, you're the answer that makes my questions disappear. Sugar man, 'cause I'm weary of those double games I hear. Sugar man, such a hurry, 'cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal. Silver magic ships you carry.
Sixto Rodriguez, or just otherwise Rodriguez, from the album Sugar Man, or sorry, Cold. No. It's actually, the soundtrack is called Searching for Sugar Man. The album is called something, 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 his first album. Fantastic movie, by the way. An absolutely fantastic, fantastic documentary. Now, the reason why I played that is for nearly 3 years now, I have been looking for a singer. And you're probably wondering, well, why don't you just go online and Google his name? Well, that's easier said than done. Now, let me explain to you. There is a musician who we have played on the show before and his orchestra, James Last. Now, of course, back in the 1960s and also in the 70s, James Last would collaborate with other musicians and singers, Venky Myra, Freddie Quinn, the list goes on and on. And a number of years ago, while I was going through the catalog of James Last, there was an album title that appeared on this catalog, but there was no other information. And it's called James Last Presents George Walker. That's it. James Last Presents George Walker. And it was an album that came out in 1967 and has been out of print since 1967. It was never reissued. Even tracks from the album were never even reissued on James Last compilation discs and LPs. It was an album that was done and then kind of forgotten. So I was really curious about this. So I started doing a little research, very simple research, by putting George Walker in Google. Well, there were some George Walkers that came up, but none of them was a singer. Then I thought, well, let me put James Last, the name of the album, James Last Presents George Walker. And then I got a few listings and some YouTube links with a couple of tracks from it. And I went, well, this is mighty strange. So I managed to find a copy of the album on eBay. It occasionally will appear on eBay, so I had to buy it because the version of the album that I got had some more background information on it. Very little information to go by. Only the fact that George Walker was from Montreal, Canada, and was Polydor Records' first Canadian artist, meaning not Polydor out of Germany, but Polydor Canada. It was their first artist that they signed a 3-record deal with. And the first album was by arrangement with James Last. And James Last actually is one of the people that saw him perform in Canada. I think it was 1966. So that's the only thing that came up. And anyway, then doing a little bit more research. Many of you may be familiar with the music magazine Billboard, which has been around for decades. I did manage to find some photostat copies of Billboard magazine from 1967, where it's talking about new release and new artists that are signed to different record labels, and there is a mention of George Walker in it. All that's mentioned is Polydor Canada signs Canadian vocalist George Walker to a 3-record deal. And his first album, he's heading to Hamburg, Germany to record with the world-renowned James Last and his orchestra. That was it. No other information. So I thought, okay, maybe there's some other things that I can find out. So I put George Walker, Montreal, Canada, nightclub performances. Nothing. I tried going back and seeing if I could find maybe some old billboards of some of the old nightclubs that were in Montreal and Toronto at the time. Nothing about George Walker. So then I thought, well, this is kind of crazy, because usually you can find out anything on any artist, even if they recorded one album or two, somewhere, right? But there was nothing. So then I thought, well, okay, let me try the next step. So I sent an email to the archives department that actually now looks after the Polydor archives, based still in Hamburg, Germany. Now, they look after the Polydor catalog from 1935 all the way until 2000. But most of the material that they archive is from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So I thought, well, sure enough, they must have something. So I sent them off an email, and I was contacted promptly by the archivist. If I can use that word. Yes, the archivist, yes. And we communicated a little bit by email, and we spoke on the phone. And I said, look, this is the only information I have. This is the album. I had the album number because I have a copy. And it is James Last, the year 1967. And they had the album listed in their archives. They had the master tapes. Surprisingly, they still actually had the master tapes that were from the original recording session in early 1967. Then I said, well, is there anything else? Do you have any bio information? Because if he's a new artist that would be signed to a record label, surely the record label must have some type of biographical information that they would pass along to radio stations and record stores. Well, there was absolutely nothing. Then she said, well, let me check around and I'll call you back in a few days. Well, she called me back a week later and said she found something. A television appearance of George Walker with James Last on the ZDF network in 1967 to promote the album. And that was it. I said, well, was there any producer information or anything? She said, no, there just was nothing. And I thought, well, this is a little bit peculiar. So then I decided to track down a gentleman by the name of Kenny Drucker. Now, Kenny Drucker, who I've known for many, many years, used to work at Polygram Canada. Polygram was the North American arm, what became the North American arm of Polydor. And he worked for Polygram and then went to work for Verve Records. And he'd been there for a number of years. He left a few years ago. Now he's working someplace else. But he'd been there for a number of years. And I thought, well, okay, maybe he would be able to track down in the Polygram archives anything about George Walker from the Polydor years. Well, sadly, all the original people, let's say, that were at Polydor Canada in the late 60s have now all passed on, and there was no information. This then, it's like a traveling, it really is. This then led me to the estate of the late James Last, who passed away last year. Now, they actually had a little bit more information, not that much. Now, the James Last estate is actually who owns the master tapes from that recording session. And they said to me, and they sent me copies of the material by email saying, well, this is what we have. They have the original contract that was signed at Polydor Canada and the contract that was signed between Polydor Canada and Polydor in Germany to record George Walker with the James Last Orchestra. They also have James Last's original charts, who the producer was, and it was the same producer that Last had through most of his career. And information on where else they did some promotion on television, also in the UK. They also had the working copies of the two different album covers, because if you do a search on Google for James Last Presents George Walker, There were two different album covers. One was released in the United Kingdom only. And this is where the story now gets interesting. She had said, this is the woman from the James Last Estates, Mildred is her name. She said, well, they were paying out, not they, or rather Hansi and Polydor, were paying out royalty payments to George Walker until 1974. My question then was, what happened? Did he die? She said, no, all of a sudden, all the royalty payments that were still being sent out in checks in those days, not money transfers like we would use now, all those checks started to being returned to sender, meaning they were being, if people don't remember what old post is like, if you sent a letter to an address where somebody you know was living, usually the new person at the address would write return to sender, bring it back to the post office, and they would return the letter, okay? So she said 1974, royalty payments started returning. The same thing in 1975. Now, they actually had the address of where he lived, the address that the royalty payments were being sent. The address that they had was a Toronto address. And I thought, well, okay, well, let me Google the Toronto address to see what I find. Well, I Googled the Toronto address and Google Maps. And, well, there's no more building there. It's now a park. So the building is now long gone. So the whole thing is rather strange and rather peculiar, because even though that album, James Last Presents George Walker, sold 50,000 copies in Germany, and there were also two hits from the album. One was a hit in Germany itself, and one made it into the top 100 in the UK. And there was also another song from the album that was a hit in Sweden. It was still enough to actually go through with the remainder two recording sessions for two follow-up albums. But it seems that only the one album was done, and then that was it. Now, let's go back to Polydor in Germany. Polydor in Germany then informed me that, well, we found another master tape that has three songs that were supposedly for the unnamed second album. They actually recorded three more tracks not long after they did the first album, but that was it. There is no other information on the tape box except that it's recorded in four-track stereo with the dates. It was recorded over 2 days, and that was it. And then it seems sort of to stop right there. She then suggested I go back to the James Last Estate. This is what I'm saying. It's like going around in circles. The person at the James Last Estate said, oh, yes, he did start working on the second album, but we don't know why. It just stopped, and then he kind of disappeared. So it is just really strange. Then, this is what I mean. It sounds very contorted, and you're probably going to get lost at some point. I know I am. But anyway, then at some point, somebody said to me, well, is George Walker his real name? Meaning that he could have used another a stage name, which is not uncommon. But if that was the case, then the contract that was signed between, quote-unquote, George Walker, if that's his real name, and Polydor would have also had his real name, including his stage name, but it only includes George Walker. Now, I hope you've been able to follow me so far. This is where we are at. Like I said, this has actually been a number of years, and it is actually a really good album. And the more I've been delving into this, the more I find it more and more mysterious. Now, Ken Drucker, who I just mentioned a moment ago, who used to work at Polygram and then Verve Records and now left and working somewhere else, he is putting the feelers out to see if there was anybody from those days that is actually would remember anything. And not too long after, he suggested I contact another George Evans, who's been on the show before, who did a music program, who's a singer, because he knows somebody who used to work at the archives of CBC Television, a woman by the name of Marjorie. And her job was to catalog every single videotape, kinescope, film, audio tape, disc that was recorded by the CBC. So we now have her looking to see if there was anything that was even mentioned on CBC television between 1960 and 1969 or 1970. Now, the album, I said, James Last Presents George Walker, came out in 1967 and it's never been reissued, and there was no information. Now, the other strange thing about it, the album that I managed to get, which does have some information, usually when you have biographical information on the artist in an LP, there'd be actually quite a bit. Like, you know, the one that I'm thinking of right now is one by Frank Ifield, where it mentions, oh, he was born in Coventry in Australia, he moved to the UK, he started off here, he did this, that, and the other. But this one is just the strangest write-up, because it really only talks about the recording session itself that took place at Polydor in Hamburg, and that it's done by James Last, and James Last discovered this young Canadian singer by the name of George Walker. That is from Montreal. And the recording session was blah, 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 blah. And that's it. So it is, even on the original LP, there is very little information. Anyway, what we will do now is take a listen to George Walker from the album James Last Presents George Walker with two songs. First, The Hit, the one that was a hit in Germany, the UK, and Sweden. And another song that was also a hit in Sweden and made it into the top 100 in Germany and the UK. And just taking a chance, because maybe somebody who's listening right now will go, yes, I remember when I saw him in 19... And actually, I did see a post on YouTube. Somebody on YouTube mentioned the name George Walker in relation to a James Last video, and posted, oh, it makes me think of the Dorval Hilton in 1969. I sent that person a message. I didn't get him, you know, didn't get a reply back yet. But anyway, let's now take a listen to George Walker from the album James Last Presents George Walker with There's a Kind of Hush.
Now there's a kind of hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. You can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean, just the two of us, and there's nobody else in sight. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. Darling, it isn't a dream. The only sounds that you will hear is when I whisper in your ear, I love you forever and ever. There's a kind of a hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. You can hear the sounds of lovers in love. There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. You can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean, just the two of us, and there's nobody else inside. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good just holding you tight. Listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. Oh, it isn't a dream. And the only sound that you will hear is when I whisper in your ear, I love you forever and ever. Now there's a kind of a hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. world you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. Oh, lovers in love. Ooh, lovers in love. Listen to those lovers in love. Yes, lovers in love. Hey, lovers in love. Many foolish lovers play, blindly chasing some happy endings, come what may. They're never caring who gets hurt along the way. Darling, let's not play these games that lovers play. Sometimes lovers hurt each other, just telling lies, acting out charades behind their smiling eyes. Darling, if you love me, you must realize that we can't play those games that lovers play. When I whisper I'll be yours eternally, in my heart I felt our love was really meant to be. Now it's not just to have you share games that lovers play. When I whisper I'll be yours eternally, in my heart I felt our love was really meant to be. Now it's not just to have you share one dream with me. I'm not playing games that lovers play. I'm not playing games that lovers play. I'm not playing games that lovers play.
Games That Lovers Play, composed by James Last himself, that was also a hit for Andy Williams. But the version that we took a listen to is by George Walker. Before that, There's a Kind of Hush, also by George Walker, from the album James Last Presents George Walker, a singer who just sort of vanished into thin air as if he was never on this planet to begin with. Somebody also suggested that I check out obituaries, and I checked out a number of different obituary sites. But the George Walker that I'm looking for was not found. So it's just very, very mysterious. Very, very mysterious. So actually, maybe if there's somebody out there who had heard this name at some point, let me know. But as they say, the search goes on. And I have a couple of other people right now checking out the archives of two newspapers. The Montreal Gazette and the Toronto Star. To see if there's anything about nightclub listings or live performances from that era. But if you know something or hear something, let me know, and I'll give out the email address later on in the program. Anyway, you are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. The other day, I came across something that I hadn't seen for many, many years. Spider-Man, the television series, which was an animated series in the 1960s. And it got me wondering, because the theme song to that show was very... Well, if you don't remember what it is, take a listen to this.
Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward. To him, life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find the Spider-Man.
The original Spider-Man theme from the animated series. Now, for many years, I was kind of wondering who the vocal group was. The first one that came to mind was perhaps Mike Sams and his singers. But no, it wasn't, because the theme song itself was actually recorded in the same city where the animation was done, which was Toronto, Canada. And there aren't many, let's say, vocal groups that were in Canada at the time. But then I remembered one, and sure enough, yes, it was them. Billy Van, who is a comedian and actor, had a singing group called the Billy Van Singers. And they recorded a couple of albums for some budget labels that were available, let's say, in stores like Woolworths and others. And they were actually the ones that did the vocal track for the Sig tune. Now, actually, it was released as a single, which is kind of odd because it only runs a minute long, but it was released as a single. And it doesn't mention Billy Van on the label. Actually, it's called The Spider Tones. Yeah, they created a group, The Spider Tones. But anyway, yes, it was actually Billy Van and his singers. Now, speaking of Billy Van and his singers, here they are with a song composed by Steve Allen. This could be the start of something big.
Let's go. best in love you discover in a frightened flash. So keep your heart away for night and day, because the meaning may be fleeting as a lightning flash, and you don't want to let it slip away.
Watching the sun come up, or counting your money,
or up in a dim cafe, you're ordering wine.
That's how we there she is. You want to know where she is. And Mr. Bean's got it, something for
Mr. Bean.
The Billy Van Singers, this could be the start of something big. Now, speaking of our next item on today's program, many of you may have heard of the series that we have talked about on the program before, PCJ Radio International Presents from the Radio Netherlands Archives, a program produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie. Now, last month's edition, well, there seemed to be a couple of technical problems. The dates that it was supposed to go out didn't. And I will first explain why. First, the relay that we were using for those two transmissions to North America and to Europe on 7750 and 7780, 7570 that is, and 7780 kilohertz, which are from WRMI in Okeechobee, Florida. Now, WRMI installed a new playout software, which is completely automated. So audio files that have to go to different transmitters and different antennas and different frequencies at different times could be switched automatically and not the way it had been done. The problem, though, as Jeff White explained to me in a very lengthy email, but I'll try to summarize it, because after I read the email that he sent me, I just felt like going garble, garble, goo, goo, goo. It was very complicated. But anyway, there seems to be a glitch in the system. So special programs that are not at a scheduled time. Now, for example, our schedule broadcasts on WRMI, which go out on two different frequencies, on 11580 kilohertz and 9955 kilohertz. Now, these are scheduled, and they go on the way they should. But it seems there's a glitch somewhere that if you add a program that is going out as a special at a different time that is not scheduled, the software doesn't really read what is supposed to be happening, if you get my drift. So, what we have decided to do is to reschedule the program that was supposed to air in October. Program 4, which nobody ended up hearing. I always thought it was very strange because the first three that went out, we were getting, of course, a big response, and then I wasn't listening that day. I was busy doing something else. And then I was checking the email the following week, and there wasn't anything there. So anyway, we rescheduled that two-hour program, PCJ Radio International Presents from the Radio Netherlands Archives, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie, for the 20th and 21st of November. So that's the 20th and 21st of November. If you check out our website in the next few days, we will have all the information on the transmission. And hopefully, knock on wood, the same problem won't happen. So that leads us down to, yes, that's it, really. But anyway, you check out our website, it will be there. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter and through the PCJ Facebook page, and we'll have all the other details. Nina Simone, I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you.
Come cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. No, I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah.
I put a spell on you.
Because you're mine. You're mine.
Nina Simone and I put a spell on you. We're going to go right away to the next piece of music, only because I had spoken for approximately 12 minutes and 15 seconds in the first half hour of the program. Count Basie with A Hard Day's Night.
Thank you.
Count Basie playing the Beatles, Hard Days and Night. Now, it actually has happened from time to time that you'll get a song that was covered by another artist a number of years later. Sometimes, very often actually, the redid version or the covered version is either not as popular as the original or not as good. But that actually is not always the case. To end off today's program, our last two pieces actually are a fine example of that. Now, let's take a listen to this song, first by Bobby Gay, recorded in 1956.
My boy like Bobby, you make my heart go hippity-hop. You're as sweet as candy, you're my loving dandy. Ho-ho, my boy like Bobby, never ever leave me, because it would grieve me, my heart told me so.
Her 1956 rendition of the song My Boy Lollipop. However, even though that version was a hit, it didn't become an international hit until Jamaican-born Millie Small recorded it in 1964. It was recorded in London and was one of the first examples of early reggae. In fact, actually, it is called a reggae classic or a ska classic. So we're going to end with Millie Small and her original version of My Boy Lollipop. Now, the email address to contact us is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. And of course, and if you have any information on what I was talking about in the beginning of the program about George Walker, let us know. So until next time, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.